This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is back on the air. This is episode 411 for Tuesday, September 22nd. I'm Martin Spriggs, and this is a show about technology and ministry, and we're so happy that you joined us. I'm also very happy that Sally Draper has decided to join us again for episode 411. 411, that's kind of a universal number for, you know, getting information, right?
Yeah, we've got lots of great information to share today, as usual. No thanks to us, really, but thanks to a wonderful interview. I'm excited that Tom Plowman from the Core was able to join us. We're looking forward to playing an interview with him, and just lots of great listener feedback, as usual.
Right. It is a team sport, this Wells Tech thing. Well, that's one of the neat things about it, is trying to pick everybody's brains, find those people who are doing innovative and interesting things. And as you mentioned, Tom is one of those guys. Tom joined us at our Wells Tech conference a month or two ago, talking about technology and music and worship. So we decided, well, let's have Tom on and tell everybody, even those who weren't able to attend his class, a little bit about what he spoke about and some questions on the side that we threw at him to talk a little bit about what they're doing at the Core there in Appleton, Wisconsin, and some of the cool technologies that he's involved with. Tom is one of those guys, I get the sense, that he's just kind of hungry for finding technology and ministry intersections, and that'll come through loud and clear in the interview. So why don't we take a listen to the interview, and then we'll talk about it in just a second. We're very happy to have joining us today Tom Plowman, Creative and Technology Director from the Core in Appleton, Wisconsin. Welcome, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Maybe for our audience, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, maybe some of the ministries you're involved with there at the Core, your responsibilities.
Absolutely. I was a lifelong carpenter, so to speak, my entire career. I owned a couple businesses. I did a lot of corporate jet interior work, and then I got involved in home building and design. So I did a lot of luxury homes and stuff over the years. And about 6 years ago, I was invited over to a new church that was starting in Appleton called The Core. And they were interested in utilizing technology in the church, and something struck a chord with me. And seeing that I was in the design business, I used a lot of technology for that. I was using AutoCAD, some 3D programs to do visualizations of the homes and walkthroughs. So that was something that was already in my blood. But when I was approached to think about doing things like that with the church, it really got me excited. And I actually dove in head first, and I've been engulfed with it ever since. So that's kind of how my technology thing got started with the church.
So you're still in the carpentry thing, or is it all?
No, not really. I retired from that about 3-4 years ago, and now all I do is I work with church media. I do mostly things for the Core and our North Campus St. Peter's, and so I do a lot of their video work also, and I also do some things for other churches that don't have staff personnel to do some of the things that we do here. So
really nice of you to be on the show with us, but even nicer, we got to meet you face-to-face this summer at Wells Tech Conference. You graciously volunteered to speak at the conference, one of our breakout sessions, and yes. We thought maybe you'd fill our listeners in a little bit on what you presented on and some of the key things that were part of your presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, thanks for inviting me to that. It was a great time. I would encourage any of your viewers who weren't there or were thinking of going to definitely go next time. I can't remember what the number was. It must have been close to 250 people or so. Mm-hmm. But it was just nice to hang out with like-minded tech individuals that are interested in figuring out, you know, better ways or different ways to spread the word. So my particular topic was on mostly music and audio is involved with the church. I do a lot of work here also at the core with the band. We do different types of music. Sometimes we'll do acoustic sets. We do run some things through some software programs called Ableton that has click tracks and guide tracks and different things like that. That got a little technical. One of the cool things about that, though, is that we're able to actually program our slide into Pro Presenter on Ableton on a MIDI track. So we can pre-program the whole set, and as the music plays and the lyrics are on the screen, the slides automatically advance. So that was kind of a cool thing that people were interested in. I like that because that way myself and Les, who normally run slides, we can actually worship during a service. We're not there working, looking for the next slide, pushing buttons. We can just sit back. Everything runs automatic. And
I think that's one of the ways people lose interest very quickly in projection during worship is that moment when it doesn't advance and you have to reach for your hymnal to try and catch up on the hymn or whatever.
Right. So. Yes. So this is two things happen. One is that you get the slides exactly when you need them. And then, like I said, the downside of volunteering to do things like that is you don't get to participate so much in worship. Mm-hmm. So this way, now we get to step back. We get to sing. We're just like the rest of the congregation. We're not working. So that's a cool thing. So we talked about that a lot. I talked about the importance of audio in church, not necessarily even just with the music, but when you're doing videos, the importance of using a track that really fits it, that enhances the story of the video. There's a reason Hollywood gives Oscars to soundtracks. They play that much importance in movies. And I think sometimes we don't consider the importance of sound as much. And sometimes I've seen a lot of videos they don't even put a background track into it. But so I played a few different quick tracks just for a couple seconds to show them as soon as you play it, there's a mood that's set by the different types of music that I played. And so I was kind of... soundtrack in video. So we use sound a lot. I use it even during the sermon. We do a lot of motion work with the message. We've always have a reference Bible passage on the screen. Actually, our screen is pretty cool too. It's 40 feet wide and it's 8 feet high, and it's actually the backdrop for the pastor on stage. So he stands in front of that. Everything that he's talking about is actually visually behind him. So we spend a lot of time thinking about that, on how everything's put together. We try to do a seamless service where everything just flows from the beginning to the end, and it's not done in chunks, like where we have the first song and then our Forgive Us, Renew Us. You know, everything just keeps blending. And a lot of that's done sonically, just with the audio in the backgrounds and stuff. So we talked about that a lot. And I also talked about just when buying equipment for the church. I'm an extremely frugal guy, especially with the church's money. Sometimes it's easy to go, well, we need this, and then you go online, you buy the first one you see. So we talked about that a lot. I have run into some extreme deals here at the core just by being patient and frugal online. It's a wealth of things out there if you're just willing to look for them. And I think that's important, especially when it comes to the church. And the other main topic, on educating myself. And you want to know, well, how did you learn how to do this? And I have not gone to school for any of this. Google and YouTube are my friends. And I think in today's age, with all the stuff that's on there, you give somebody a topic, in 6 months you can become an expert at pretty much anything just from Googling and YouTube. So what I do is I find my YouTube tutorials, I download them, I put them on my iPad, then when I go to bed at night, I just watch tutorials till I fall asleep. So that's pretty much how I learn. Yeah.
Put it under your pillow and dream of it. Right.
So that was pretty much the gist of my breakout, but it was a very enjoyable. We had a lot of interaction with the people, and so...
What were some of the kinds of questions that you received during the session? What were they interested in talking about?
A lot of it had to do with software. What do we use to do different things? My main software, being in the video work, is I use Adobe Premiere. So I use that for all my video work. I use After Effects if I'm going to do cool stuff in it, effects. But then I do a lot of motion graphics. And motion graphics, the difference between that and the video work is motion graphics are things that I actually build. They're images or text, you know, objects, different things that I attach videos to even. And I use Cinema 4D for that. And that's a pretty involved program. Right. I've been using that about 6 years now, and I might know a tenth of what it can do. So,
I'm assuming a lot of your session attendees didn't have maybe the background or skill set that you have, or maybe even the time and resources that you might be able to apply to your work there at the Corps. Is there hope for them? Can they start small and... You know, what kind of advice would you give somebody who wants to kind of push more multimedia into the service but is kind of scared that, hey, I don't have time or the know-how?
Yeah, absolutely. I started small, and as I got to learn more, you know, I just kept pushing it a little bit farther. But absolutely, I would first of all, even if you don't have a screen, my first thing I would address is the audio. Make right. sure, even if it's just the pastor's voice in your sanctuary, make sure your
makes
audio is good.
Yeah.
I have been to a lot of churches where it's muffled, it's not, you know, very clear, and it's a distraction, and you don't engage the congregation as well if you don't have good audio. Good audio, as much as I like video, is even more important than good video. I will rather watch a bad video with good audio than a really good video with bad audio.
Right.
And I think that applies in the church, too. If the audio isn't there, you're losing your connection. So I would first start, and that's an easy thing to do, just work on your audio, get that down, and then go to a screen. There is software out there that's more economical than Adobe Premiere, although I would have to encourage people going. The new Creative Cloud, I think, is a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for about $40, you can get the whole suite for per month. That is
absolutely yes, and that gives you everything. And so that's not out of the reach anymore. I know when I first mm-hmm. bought the first Adobe suite, I think like 6 years ago, I paid $1,200.
Right,
and then my next upgrade was like $600, and I'm like, wow, this is killing me. But now the way they have it set up, at just paying that monthly fee, you're always updated, and you've got a great program. There's tons of tutorials, not only on YouTube, but even Adobe on their site. They provide a lot of education on how to use that stuff. So I think just start small. Try to do a really, really good job. I mean, keep that in mind. Don't do video just to do video, because now we have a screen. And we really impress that upon ourselves here, that if we're going to do something, we do it to the best of our ability. And I think that's kind of what God wants us to do anyway. Just don't throw it out there because, okay, we're going to do another video. We spend a lot more time discussing what we're going to do than we actually do while we're doing it. So mm-hmm. I think it's important to always keep that in mind, to put out as best of a product as you can, because we live in a digital world, and the audience is inundated with, we live on these, and we see media, and we see a lot of media done well. And I think sometimes, and I know we're conscious of even new people coming in, if we do a bad job, they may never come back. And I'm not advocating whether that's right or wrong, but it's a fact. And that's why it's always important to put on your best work.
Don't stand in the way of the gospel, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I hear a lot of we in the things that you're describing, so I'm guessing it's more than just Tom behind these efforts, that it takes a team to kind of do this kind of stuff. So,
absolutely.
Who are those players that are involved in the
All right.
final
that's
product?
That's a great question. Matter of fact, we talked about that a little bit at the tech conference too, but we are unbelievably blessed with talent here at the Corps. We have three main players in the congregation to do our still graphics. We kind of categorize. We got still graphics, and then we have our moving graphics. So it's kind of two different groups of people. Our still graphics are the guys that design all of our sermon series art. and they do this professionally as their jobs, and they volunteered. So we have what we call a creative team where we'll meet quarterly, and the pastor builds the sermons out far enough advanced that we have months to prepare and get the artwork ready. So during those meetings, we'll assign who's going to do what as far as the artwork goes and still graphics. And that's Joe Plasek, who's just an unbelievable Photoshop guru. I've learned so much from him. So he'll usually come up with the main concept for the artwork. And then that gets handed off to some of the other people. Because what we do is we kind of call it branding our series. So we'll come up with the main art. We'll do posters. We do business card handouts. All our bulletin, our sermon bump videos, our sermon trailers, everything is tied into that design. So it becomes, as soon as you see that image, you know what series we're in. And then we have Leslie, who is, she's called the assistant here, but she does a lot. And she actually runs our pro presenter and programs all the slides and does a lot of the Photoshop work on our slides for Sundays. And then keeps me organized, because being a creative, I am not, well, you even can see my office. It's just, I am not organized. And she is so
good. She's your left brain, yeah.
Yes, she is so good at keeping me prioritized, because I'll usually have like a list of 15, 20 things to do, and normally I'm working on number 14 instead of number 1. So she gets me back to the one that I should be doing. So anyway, she's just terrific. And so, but as a team, and being in a business field my entire life, I've never been surrounded by a better group of people. And it is just so much fun to come in every day and work. And I think that's something I encourage too at the tech thing, is see if you can form a creative group at your church. Because just the word creative sometimes brings the creatives out of the congregation. If you call it something else, or you're looking for volunteers, a creative person tends not to step forward that easy. But if it's a creative group, yeah, I want to be part of that. You know, that's something I've been waiting for. So I think I would encourage to form groups like that, and then things just start to happen. So,
Technology advances at just a lightning fast pace these days, Tom, and I'm sure you're seeing things today that you didn't think were possible 5 years ago, 6 years ago. What do you see as maybe the key technologies that the church might be able to take advantage of, your ministry might take advantage of, in the near or, you know, not so near future? What does the future have in store, you think?
Well, there's a couple things. One that I've already started implementing, that's projection mapping. And what projection mapping is that you can put objects up on stage or wherever on individual objects simultaneously with one projector. Now that sounds kind of weird, but I'll try to explain a little bit better. So let's just say I put 6 cubes on the stage and just randomly arrange them. I can take each face of that cube and assign a video or an image from one projector.
Wow.
So what I do now is I've got a big white cross to the right side of our big screen, and I made that out of foam core. It's just a white surface. And I've masked, basically what the projection mapping software does is it masks out everything in the projector other than the object you're trying to show it on. So whatever I put in there, let's say it's just clouds or a sunrise we did on Easter, it just shows on that cross and it doesn't bleed over onto the wall. So it's a really cool technology. And I know the first time first couple of Sundays I used it, nobody could figure out how is that cross lit. They thought it was like a screen or a LED screen, because it's kind of throws you off, you know. But yeah, that's something that's very useful, because what I'll do is I'll do images and even passages on the cross while pastor is preaching that tie into what he's talking about. We use it on Good Friday. I actually closed the service with Jesus showed up on the cross on the surface of that. So that's a pretty cool thing that we're using. The other thing that I see that we might be using more of is what are they calling it now? I've got the programs we're starting to use. escapes me. But anyway, yeah, I can't remember what it's called right now. Basically what it is you take objects like a business card and you show your phone on it. As soon as it sees that object, let's say it's the logo of your church, it sends out on the cloud that it just saw that, and it brings an image back on the screen like it's a virtual reality thing, an object. And it can be pastor, it can be videos, right in space as you're looking at objects. And it'll recognize text. It'll bring up Bible passages based on the verse number, and it'll actually bring the text in the space.
Similar to the an Obi-Wan Kenobi hologram,
correct, right?
Correct,
yes. Yes.
R2-D2.
So there's a lot of cool technologies like that that are coming out, and we're always trying things. I think that's another thing that I enjoy doing is we try things. We're not super afraid to fail. Every Monday morning we have a staff meeting, and we do the good, bad, and the ugly of what happened at our service, and we analyze it and we break it down. Well, we tried this. How'd that go over? Do you think, and we do questionnaires back to the congregation. We just do little, 3x5 handouts that maybe we're trying something for a while, and we'll send a questionnaire out randomly, like maybe 20, 30 people, and have them fill that out, and then we'll reevaluate, Because sometimes you do things and you think, wow, this is just really great, and you don't realize it for months that the majority of the congregation thinks it's not that great.
Right.
And
you don't know until you ask them, right?
So,
yeah. Well, that's an interesting concept, and that seems to have some merit. Where why not do an evaluation or an analysis of the previous Sunday? I think a lot of us are so busy that we're just trying to get ready for the next the next thing, rather than taking a look back and doing a retrospective on hey, this could have gone better. If we did this,
correct.
Kind of a little bit of an analysis would probably be helpful in everything that we do.
Absolutely.
Bible classes, services, etc.
Yep. So that kind of gives us a little check and balance on what we're doing. And then the other kind of cool I should mention right now, we're in the middle of something we call our service fair. And that's a way to get people involved in the church. We don't like to call them volunteers. We like to call them we serve the church. But basically what our service fair is, it's similar to a college fair or a job fair, where we've got 12 different areas in church that we need people to serve each Sunday. The ushers, the kitchen help, communion, whatever, video, band. So what we do is after service for three Sundays in a row, we have an annual service fair where people can go up to the person who is in charge of that, let's say the ushers, our head usher, talk about it. What's involved, what do we got to do, how often do we do it, and they get their questions answered, they can sign up, and they know that it'll be an annual thing. So sometimes people don't step forward like, I'm not going to get involved in that, I'll be doing that for the next 5 years.
Right. Make a year commitment and see how it goes. Right.
Absolutely. And next year, if they want to try something else, they can. And that way, I call it gives them an opportunity to ask dumb questions. And that's what it's all about, Whereas on a regular Sunday, nobody's going to come to the back sound booth and think, they're intimidated. They don't want to ask questions. This gives them that time. They can ask whatever they want to, or just stand there and listen to other people ask dumb questions and take it all in, So, but I think that's a really, really good way to get people involved in your church, rather than just sitting there waiting for volunteers to show up. So,
right. Tom, really appreciate you taking some time out of your day and your ministry activities there to spend a little time with us, as well as the time you spent at Welsh Tech Conference. I know it was well appreciated and valuable for those that attended, and this was the same. Thank you for taking some time with us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Again, our thanks to Tom for taking the time to talk about his technology endeavors at the core. Neat, cool stuff. So not run-of-the-mill kinds of technologies that he's talking about.
No, after we were done with the interview, Tom sent us a few pictures to back up all those cool things he described. And the one I'm showing on my screen right now is just their little audio video corner there at the core. It looks a bit intimidating to me. He's got quite the panel and I don't know, what, three different computer screens, a keyboard there, and a double mixer with more wires than you can count. It's quite a setup that they have.
That's sometimes what it takes, yeah.
Yep. He also included a couple of pictures of the screen and the projection cross that he described during the interview. So here's that giant screen with some Bible passages on it and imagery and things. And then off to the side here on the right is the cross that he said he built out of foam or whatever that he uses to do projection mapping to have information on the screen. And then the same same setup, but a view of what it looks like during a service. Actually, this looks like a wedding service where they have the screen behind them, the cross over here with their name on it, and quite impressive to see how that all comes together.
Very cool. A lot of things struck me about the interview, Sally. There's a lot of directions you could go. One of them was kind of the team effort that it takes to pull something like this off. Or as he kind of intimated in the interview, for anybody looking to introduce any kind of technology into a worship service, it really just can't be one person. You got the technical team, you have what he called the creative team, which was an interesting approach. And he talked a little bit about the name being kind of important, you know, where the creative types like to be able to spread their wings a little bit and be part of a team that can create. And that's what they call them, the creative team. And maybe to try and look under the rocks and find some of those types who don't always necessarily think about volunteering, just kind of surfacing some of those gifts that God has blessed individuals with in your congregation who won't normally otherwise think of serving, but interesting ways they try and do that there.
Definitely. I think that whole team conversation reminded me of the book we're writing, Martin, With All Your Heart, where we're talking about project management and involving a whole team in getting some big things done within your church or school. So we'll have to keep the interview with Tom in mind as we get further into that book effort of ours. I think one thing with teams that's really critical is being able to collaborate. You and I collaborate every week. We do it using a shared mind map, and there are a lot of tools out there that you can use. There's online mind mapping and certainly online data processing type tools. Is that even a term anymore? Data processing software? No.
Oh, I think so.
But better said, office type tools where you can do word processing and spreadsheets collaboratively, mm-hmm. things like that. You can do that obviously in the Google Docs suite. You can do it with Office 365, and there are others. So
right.
Finding the right tool set.
Yeah, and we're going to have fun talking about that in the book, you know, once we get to those chapters. Another really key point that Tom made that we'll be talking about in our project management chapters is the planning portion, not just to be able to communicate with the team, but what you do when you communicate, and that's really planning and the amount of lead time that is necessary to do some of these very creative things. It's not just the week before, not even just the month before. It's building a schedule, having a plan, putting all these things together, and trying to get out ahead of this so that it's not thrown together and sometimes looks that way, where you're trying to anticipate all the things that could go wrong, take those out of the equation, and give God your best.
You know, Martin, you're a glass half full kind of person. I have said that many times. I was thinking it's not just the day before. Forget week and month, but I think a lot of people maybe function in that day before mentality. So yours truly included. So it's good to have lead time for sure.
Yeah, and then you throw in those tools, and then you've got a recipe for a good product, and that's obviously you want to put your best foot forward especially for those worship services. So that's kind of the highlight of the week. God's word is front and center, and you don't want to introduce anything that would detract or distract, you know, from the listeners and viewers digesting that. He talked about a number of things that I think are near and dear to our heart. One of them is asking for feedback, listening to the audience, and kind of a probably a novel concept for some congregations is to ask how you're doing. How was the worship service? How were the choir pieces? How'd the flow of the service go? The readings, the sermon, the hymns that were picked. Kind of a nice loop that you want to maybe get into, and then once you receive, figure out how to receive the feedback, what you do with it, and then kind of this continuous cycle of improvement. And it was very important to him and their congregation to continually get that feedback loop going.
Yeah, I think we could probably spend a whole episode on that feedback concept.
I think we should. Put that on our radar where we definitely have to figure out how to talk about that reasonably.
And, what you do with the information when you get it, besides be very afraid of it. I think maybe that's something that keeps people from doing it. But, how you can use it constructively.
Got to embrace that. And that's not just for church or church services. I think it's in Bible study, school feedback, listening to the parents, listening to the students. Just a good habit to get into. And there's all kinds of tools and technologies to enable that kind of feedback. So I think that would be something to explore in maybe a full show at some point, and maybe find some good examples of congregations or schools taking advantage of the technologies and putting that feedback to good use.
So Tom really earned his nickel, although he was on for free. He gave us lots of good ideas and even future show ideas. So we thank you, Tom, especially for joining us and sharing what's going on with the technologies at the core.
Yeah, and blessings on your work there. It's exciting to watch the progress of that congregation. We should probably move along in our little show. Let's move on to news in tech. And I will share my screen here because Apple's been in the news a lot lately. And one of the things that recently launched just the other day was a new update to their mobile operating system, iOS. iOS 9 is now out. Number of different things. They've improved a couple apps, Notes being one. They've added a news app. But they've also added some features that are hopefully helpful. One of them for iPad users is this ability to split your screen so you can actually have two apps up at once. Now, this will not work on every iPad. It's got to be a more modern iPad, the iPad Air 2. Some of the newer minis can do this where you can multitask, basically. So you've got two apps, and then you can drag the little divider in the middle of the screen to increase or decrease one side or the other. So that's a productivity tool that I think they're hoping will take off and make it even more useful. Not obviously available on the iPhone, but some of the other things that they introduced are available on the iPhone. The Notes app has become more useful where you can drag in, I think, media, add checklists, add images, those kinds of things. So they've improved that, which had kind of been a long neglected kind of thing. You can do some more things with your photos. So actually, you can sketch on your notes as well. You can do more things with photos. There's a multi-select option. So if you want to delete a whole bunch of photos at the same time, what you used to have to do is click the edit button and then photo by photo by photo, tap, 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 tap. Now you can actually drag across the screen and select more photos and delete those. Apparently there's been improvements to the Maps app, transit directions. If you live in a big city, you can get that kind of information. Some nearby directions. Apple Pay is supposed to even be even better. Improvements to iCloud. Lots of different things coming out of Apple with iOS 9. Free if you have an Apple device. So just make sure you check that out. I've also updated the Wells mobile app to play a little bit nicer with iOS 9. It was kind of wreaking havoc there for a while, so I had to quick launch and update to make sure everything was working properly. So make sure you update not only if you update to iOS 9, make sure you update the Wells mobile app as well. It should be in the store, in the Play Store.
I've got it all right here on my phone, Martin, iOS 9 and the new Wells mobile app. So beautiful. Working just fine for me. Thanks for that.
No problem. Let's move on to our Wells Now section.
And Wells has got a lot of stuff happening right now.
They do.
One of the things that we want to remind you of is the Interactive Faith Bible Study, which is happening every Wednesday evening, not just once, but twice on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Central Time to kind of hit all the different time zones and hopefully give groups of people a chance to gather together to study the book of Elisha with Professor Keith Wessel, who is at Martin Luther College and leading that study. So dig into the Word with a whole group of people virtually using the Interactive Faith online Bible study.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting this time because he's gathered some students so that he's got a live audience in front of him. So you can kind of hear the interaction, the questions they ask, as well as the questions that come through the chat function, you know, through the Interactive Faith tool, which is live stream. So it kind of adds a little bit different dynamic, kind of nice. A couple of the presenters have done that in the past. I think it just adds a little bit of personality to it, where you get to see a class go on, but also participate in the class.
Next up, I want to point you to a brand new website recently launched by Wells China Partners. They have a new name, a new brand, you might call it, 316 Now. And you can get to their website at 316now.org. And they're also featuring links to Twitter and Facebook. So you'll want to follow them on both of those sites as well and keep up with the news. And they've got a newsletter you can subscribe to, all kinds of exciting things going on with the China Partners group. So
cool
check
site,
it out at 316 Now.
Very cool. I'm assuming just a reference to John 3:16. They've got the passage right there on the homepage. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, one more mention, as we have mentioned in past weeks, that we have a little photo challenge going on with Wells Tech. And we'd love it if you guys could participate. We are looking for pictures of school and Bible study this month. And we've had a few submissions, some nice Bible study group pictures, a couple of books, commentary kind of look, and then one school playground picture. We want to caution our listeners not to really submit pictures of children, even though that's who's normally in those schools, maybe more just generic pictures is what we're looking for. So get on it, because September is almost over. We only have about a week left. So You want to be part of this challenge. We have some really great photo prizes that we're giving away. You can find out information about all of that over at wellstech.wells.net/photo challenge.
Plus, and we'll have that link in the show notes. Submit anything.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody needs an orange Wells Tech screen cleaner, for sure.
I know. Yeah, absolutely.
Got mine right here.
All right. Very nice. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I will go first, Martin. I have a pick from my friend Cindy Krieger. She actually wrote to us to let us know about an article on Jen's Trends website. The article title is, Could You Lose All Your Social Media Followers? And it's talking about some kind of high-profile hacks of various accounts and giving you some safeguards and things to consider regarding your social media accounts. And I think they have some really good tips in here. Jen has some really good tips in this article that would be appropriate for churches and schools to consider if you have social media accounts. One of her main points is that you should be careful not to allow just one person to have the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, access to managing those accounts, because something could happen to that person and you could technically lose your ability to get access to your brand if, you know, they are no longer in that capacity. She mentions perhaps considering LastPass and sharing passwords using like a business class of LastPass website, or just, you know, making it your policy that you share passwords with at least two people on those sites. And she also recommends not reusing the passwords for different social media sites, having unique passwords for each one. So that if someone were to get access to one, they wouldn't get access to all your social media sites. She mentions a website I hadn't heard of, Martin, called LogDog, which will basically monitor your sites and tell you if anything suspicious is happening so that you get alerts and things in case something strange happens and you don't have to always be watching out for it yourself. And she brings up one of your points, Martin, one of your favorite points about security two-step verification. Many sites now are putting two-step verification in place where you have to perhaps receive a code on your phone or something that you type into the site to indicate that you really are the person that you say you are. So lots of really great tips here. For me, it was really nice to stumble upon Jen's trends. Cindy wrote to us and said she follows her on Facebook. And if you go to this article, you can easily get to her Facebook page as well. I decided to follow her as well. It's always good to keep up with social media strategy as we strive to communicate in the best ways possible and using all the means possible in this day and age. So you may want to consider following Jen as well. And that's my pick of the week.
Cool. That's such an important topic. And I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with congregations or schools who the person who set up their website or their Facebook account is gone and, you know, maybe didn't leave on the healthiest of terms. And they don't have access, so it's start over, and you know, it's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. So that's awesome advice, is to share that information, make sure that there isn't, it just doesn't pinge or hinge on one person and their ability to stay current. Lots of things can happen. It's really important to think about that. So good yep. stuff.
Good reminders from Jen.
All right, my pick of the week is from the good people at Square. Square, we've talked about Square in the past. They make a little device that you can plug into your iPad or iPhone and take credit card swipes. So those congregation schools that have a need for that kind of thing, you know, we've recommended that kind of on-site point of sale kind of thing where you can take anything. You could take VBS registration or whatever you're charging for. Could be concessions, could be, you know, lots of different things. They've come out with a different product, and it's a pick of the week because I just used it the other day with my son. We were doing some, you know, he was kind of squaring up with me for some Christmas gifts from last year. I finally got around to saying, hey, you owe me some money for mom's gift or whatever, and then I had he had done some work for me, so I owed him some money. So we said, well, how are we going to transfer this? Do we just send a plain old check? That's pretty old school. So he suggested, and I had heard of it, but I had never used it. He suggested Square Cash. And there are a bunch of these. Venmo's another one that's very popular. But Square Cash was really simple to use. All you do is you download the app. You can actually go to their website as well. The website is cash.me. But the way the app works is you download the app and then you give it your, you have to have a debit card if you're using it for personal business. So it won't work just with a credit card, although the business version of this will accept credit cards. So this kind of works the same way for the Square, the old Square. But so you give it your information. You have to give it, obviously, the number of your debit card, the number on the back, and the expiration date and your name, and then an email address or your phone number. And basically, somebody else just needs an account, and there's no charge. So I plugged in his phone number and said I wanted to send him, you know, whatever the dollar amount was, and within a minute, money had moved from my debit card or my account to his, and then vice versa. Just really quick and easy. It was not hard at all. So very easy way, and there's an Android and an iOS version. So no matter, you know, the two major platforms will support this app. And you can even do it online. So if you have a login, and in this case, you know, my login account or my page, they just give you a page for free, is cash.me/$mspriggs. And then you can see if you're following along at home, a place to enter, a big old place to enter a dollar amount. You enter your debit card number, your optional note, and you click pay, and money's on its way. So if you're trying to divvy up a check at a restaurant, or, you know, lots of different reasons, really simple, really easy tool to use, and really free. So there's no charge because you're using your debit card versus a credit card. Now, for the credit card side, there is a business account, and for that, there is a 1.9% fee or transaction fee, which is actually not bad, but kind of works the same way. So if you have a need for this kind of thing, take a look. It's at cash.me. Again, it's called Square Cash.
Very interesting, Martin. As you were describing it, it reminded me of my experience I had recently at Applebee's. I don't know if you've got an Applebee's around or have seen this, but yep. We sat down for dinner and there was a little device sitting on the table. And it had games on it and things kind of Buffalo Wild Wings like, where we've played the games before and stuff. Although at Applebee's, they cost a dollar and right. they'll add it to your tab, you know, so you just push a button and it goes on your check that you get at the end of the meal. But the device was actually a card swiper. So when we were done, the waitress didn't bring us a ticket. She clicked a button on there and said, here's your bill, yep. And you can swipe your card right here. I was like, wow, this is a fancy world we live in these days. So,
you know, the worst thing about those devices that sit there on your table, what flashes across the screen probably every 30 seconds are desserts. Yeah, not good.
Yeah. Yeah, we tried to ignore that. We managed to make it out without buying any, but exactly. She asked, can I show you the desserts? You know, yeah. But yeah, that was a pretty cool experience.
Very interesting world we live in. You're right. Let's move on to one of our favorite sections, Sally, our community feedback.
Yep, and it's favorite because we have listeners like Dan Knack. We just heard from Dan, who's a member of St. John's in Appleton, and he wrote to us as a follow-up on our Imagine That series, Martin. That was what we did to close out our summer, mostly in the month of August and a little bit into September. We talked about all different angles of working with imagery. And one of the things that we kind of closed out the series on was how to store your images and do it well. So Dan wanted to write to us and share a website. And if I get my act together, I'll share it on the screen. The website is titled scanyourentirelife.com. And what he says is it has some ideas on numbering and naming photos that we may find interesting. He said he really liked our suggestion to have congregations appoint a photographer to record significant events. With that, they may also want to set up a system to archive those photos, including the who, what, where, and how information, especially the who. He said, as an example, his wife received a magazine from a college where she had taken classes. And in that college was a photo from 50 years ago when a new building was first opened. They listed the names of the 8 people in the photo. When we first take a picture, it's easy to remember that information, he says. But 50 years later, maybe not quite so easy. So having those details would be really important to a congregation as they're looking back at archive-type materials and trying to put together anniversary services or whatever it may be. Even looking back at members who are now in their heavenly home and no longer with them and just being able to identify. So I think some great tips from Dan in that email, and we really appreciate him reaching out to us and sharing the Scan Your Entire Life site. Sounds like an interesting site.
Yeah, it's a kind of leaking over into that whole archivist, you know, mentality where you're not just documenting in pictures, but you're putting that with meaningful information that would have some value, you know, later on. So cool. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that.
I also want to make mention of a link that Jason Schmidt shared recently. I actually saw him share this one on Facebook, and it's to an article from a website called For Every Mom. The title of the article is Parents, If Your Kids Have Any of These 10 Dangerous Apps, It's Time to Hit Delete. So probably a great way to educate yourself about what some of the apps are out there and things that you might be concerned about regarding those apps. But Jason's advice was to read the end of the article first and then go back and read about the apps. So just a little bit from the end of the article, it says the most important thing you can do as a parent to protect your children from dangers that are associated with the use of these apps is to talk with them frequently about their social lives. You can start by establishing yourself as an approachable parent and talking with them early and often about sexuality and romantic relationships. Without a strong bond and open communication, trying to regulate and monitor internet use won't be very effective. However, setting technology boundaries, when and where they access the internet, and monitoring their online behavior can be effective if you have a strong foundation to build on. And it goes on with some other information. I thought that was great advice. I think parents very quickly want to jump to deleting the apps. And, you know, if kids have it in their mind to use these apps, they might find a way around you deleting them from their devices. So I think that that strong relationship is really the important thing here. So check out the article if you're curious about some of the apps that they list as being of concern.
Yeah, most of the apps you could probably predict, Snapchat, Tinder, Whisper, those kinds of things. They're hookup kinds of apps, you know, that have always been questionable, even for adult usage. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Next up, an article from Church Tech Today. It's 3 big guest follow-up mistakes. And when they say guest, I think they're talking about like first-time worship visitors, right? That kind of thing, outreach kind of prospects. And what they say is that you want to be consistent and relevant. And the third word they used was sufficiency, insufficiency. So sufficient in what you communicate. And a great read. They give you some, you know, mistakes that you want to avoid and things like that. One of the things that they share, and it's probably pretty small on my screen, but they actually share a 6-week calendar of follow-up and give you ideas of when to email and, you know, when to stop by or send them a mailing, and to do that consistently over 6 weeks, including a kind of a texting strategy where you just do a simple little text. They even give you an example here. It says, hope to see you tomorrow at Stained Glass Church. Services are at 8 and 9:30. The coffee will be hot. So just a simple little text message on a Saturday. Saturday is prime time for that kind of communication to remind people about worship or whatever. So check out their calendar that they provide. I think this is pretty useful information.
Nice. Yep, I like it.
And then finally, just to mention that Hootsuite announced this week that they have a new online learning page to teach you about social media. Kind of a theme of this show, it seems, that social media has come up a lot. They're calling their new online learning space Podium. And if you head over to Podium, they have 6 free online courses about creating social media strategy, generating compelling content, growing your community, identifying brand advocates, and more. So maybe worth the time to invest and learn more about social media strategy. And they're providing this service for free. So can't go wrong with that.
Very nice. Community feedback is such an important part of the show. We'd like you to join that section, join the team. Lots of different ways to do that. If you simply go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, you just look across the top, you'll see icons that you recognize, our Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+. Those are all ways that you can contribute, and we'll be on the lookout for what you share there. You can also just leave a comment on any particular show right on the screen there. You can also send an email, wellstech@wells.net, and that'll get to us and get on the show. One of our favorite places is our WellsTech listserv, where there's not just even people who watch the show, but many more people from across the country and the world who are interested in technology. That's our WellsTech listserv, and there's a link to that at the top of the show notes page as well. So join the conversation.
Yep, we'd love to hear from you. And we actually did hear from one more listener via one of our favorite social media channels, Pinterest. Our friend Amanda Helmkamp pinned this page, A Year of Many First, a first grade teacher's blog. And this is actually a teacher identifying summer review websites for kids. So we're past summertime, but I think it's a great list of kids' websites, and many of them were familiar to me. We've talked about them in times past on Wells Tech, things like the National Geographic Kids website, PBS Kids, and Starfall, one of my favorite for teaching children to read. But there were a few new ones, a couple that I'll mention, the Switcheroo Zoo, with animal games and things that they can do online. And this one in particular I thought was really well done. It's called Storyline Online, and it's by the Screen Actors Guild. So these famous actors and actresses are reading stories, and they have the videos embedded right here. So you can listen to someone like, I think this is Barbara Bain, reading The Kissing Hand. And they've obviously got some investment in the site. It's very professionally done, and a fun site, I'm sure, for children to visit and have stories read to them. So that's storylineonline.net. And that's just a couple. So definitely check out the link that we provide in the show notes and visit all the sites that this blogger recommends. Great stuff, and a great ministry resource for teachers out there to make use of.
Sally, our video this week has a lot to do with how our show started, right? Production or 3D projection mapping, a bunch of videos it looks like we found that would be of interest.
Yeah, I think we'll post two of them on our show notes page, Martin, about projection mapping. That's that concept that Tom introduced and that showed in the pictures that we showed earlier with the cross being illuminated with projection.
Video image on a non-rectangular surface.
Right. Yeah. And so these two videos that we'll post actually show examples of that. And then I found a whole website dedicated to projection mapping, Projection Mapping Central. And it's just loaded up with amazing videos. You could watch all day, amazing things that people are doing. They have one of projection on the Sydney, Australia, the Opera House or whatever, that has such amazing architecture and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a lot of really amazing stuff. And probably you've seen it before, but I didn't really know the name that was associated with it and the fact that churches could possibly use that concept. And it's neat to open up to new technologies and consider their usage for gospel outreach.
Yep. Next week, Sally, we're welcoming back an old friend, aren't we?
We are. Welcome back, Gail Potratz from Emmanuel Lutheran School in New London, Wisconsin. Gail serves as the technology director there, and she has also been probably 7 or 8 years sitting in a co-host seat, a semi-regular classroom technology correspondent. I think that's her official title. And she's going to join us again this school year, and we'll have her join us next Tuesday for the first time.
And what's she going to be sharing with us?
Well, I think Gail will have to explain it a little bit more. She says we should talk about cool things you can make with tech, and she's got some examples to share. So
I like it.
Tune in. It should
It'll be good.
Interesting.
Anybody who knows Gail knows she brings her A game every time.
She's got cool stuff going on for sure.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Sally. We will be doing this every Tuesday in the foreseeable future. Show 412 will be next week, Tuesday, 4 p.m. Central. WellsTechLive.wells.net is the place to go if you want to watch us live, where you can ask a question, make a comment, etc. Or look us up in iTunes or Stitcher or wherever. WellsTech.wells.net shows you all those places as well. Thank you for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.